based on the fundamentals that you just described about the unwinding and the oil pipelines and the restarting and the energy, insurance, all that kind of stuff, any practical assessment of what oil is going to be in July, if it's 140 spot price, I think they call it right now, it sure ain't going to be 89 in a month and a half from now. So it seems like they would say, no, the best case, it's going to be maybe 120, 130, and yet it says 89. How does that work?
Because that is a risk-weighted number. All right. So now you and I can have a conversation, as we just have, and maybe we can agree that now, you know, the price in July is actually probably going to be like $150, let's just say, not 89. Okay, that's an interesting conversation, and it's well supported by the data. All right, now here comes the hard part, Danny. I want you to take all the money that you have in your savings account, and I want you to put a bet. I want you to buy a contract of oil for oil in July. Okay, how confident are you that it's going to be $150? Because that's not what everybody buying the oil says. They say it's going to be 89. If you say it's $150 and you're wrong, you just lost your whole savings, your life savings. And you're going to start getting real conservative about the way you make that bet, partly because you're looking at what everybody else is doing. And then you're going to ask, well, what exactly is it about the way they're thinking that's different than the way that I'm thinking? And the way they're thinking is, this has got to resolve itself. It's going to resolve itself. It has to resolve. It's like, you know, Marco Rubio, he was on a plane, you know, a day or so ago, and he said, you know, this can't stay the way it is in Hormuz. It's illegal.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, and I made some comment on X, and I said, well, you know, get a ticket to reality, Che. You know, it may be illegal, but this is the way it is. You know, you guys screwed this up, you and your boss. You know, you got nowhere else to look. You did this. You know, stop whining and find a way to make it go away. That's what we need. Not say, oh, it's not fair. It's not fair. It shouldn't be. Okay, so, but my point, Danny, is that futures markets, we're in a situation right now. I mean, you know, I don't know how many times, how sick I am of hearing people say this is unprecedented. You know, everything's unprecedented. Well, I got news for you. In the oil industry, and I've been in this business for 50 years, there is no historical precedent for what's happening right now. So nobody knows how to evaluate it. Nobody. Because it's never happened before. We don't have any analog. We can't say what's going to happen. All right. And so every day there's new information, and some of that information is valuable and some of it is bogus. But the way a futures contract gets settled is there are two people or two parties. There's one party that listens to President Trump, and I'll call that party the dumb money, for lack of a better word. And they're saying, oh, you know, the price of oil is going to be, you know, or, you know, what Kevin Hassett said, it's going to be $80 in a couple of weeks. And so he's going to put his life savings on $80 oil. And there's going to be somebody who has to be on the other side of that trade that bets, no, that's not right. You're wrong. I'm going to make a bunch of money off of this trade, but how far am I willing to go? I'm going to say it's 90. You say it's 80, I'm say it's 90, because I don't need to say it's 100. I don't need to say it's 110. All I need to do is win the bet. And I know if you say 80, you're going to lose. So I've already won. I've already made a ton of money. Okay, that's what's called price discovery. And so we are in a period where the entire structure of the oil market is up in the air. Nobody knows where it's going because we've never been here before. Every piece of information, whether it's true, false, or a rumor, motivates somebody to put some money on the table. And that's why the price is so volatile. It goes up and down and up and down because there's dumb money and there's smart money. Maybe, you know, I say it's dumb money. Maybe that's too negative, but less informed money that actually believes the propaganda that you've just shown. And you know, they wouldn't put that out there if people didn't believe it. And so it takes time before the market digests all of this. Okay. And eventually what's going to happen is the reality on the ground is going to show those guys who lost their ass saying it's going to be $80 in July. They're going to stop making those bids. They're going to say, well, okay, you know, I'm going to make another bet here for August, only this time it's going to be 90. It's not going to be 80. Okay. And there's going to be somebody that says, okay, that's wrong too. I'll say 100. Eventually, you're going to run out of dumb money. You're going to run out of people that are willing to bet low. And by that time, all the effects, the downstream effects of this disruption are going to land big time in places like Europe and the United States.
Yeah,
and
then
no matter what Kevin Hassett says, everybody's going to say, that's a lie. That's not true, because I just went to the gas station and I know. And when is that going to be? That's going to be by July. Okay,
right,
so right now
exactly
we're living off of our savings account. We're living off of inventories.
Just what is the difference? Right now, it's the dumb money and the smart money, whatever has to do with the price here. But what happens when it gets to the point to where there's just not enough diesel fuel to put in the tank and we can't do commerce?
Well, that's when the price takes off. And that's what I'm saying is that, you know, I've done modeling on this and other people have too. And once places like the United States get hit with the reality of this, and I've already said that it's going to happen sometime. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen in stages, but end of June, mid July, it's going to hit hard.
Mm.
And by then,
can you hear me now, by the way?
I do.
Okay.
By then, the price on your screen is going to be pretty darn close to the spot price. Then we're going to be at 150. And I think it's going to go higher. I think we're going to go, you know, I mean, I've modeled it out to 160, 180.
Wow.
At which point demand destruction kicks in.
Mm. And for those who don't know, can you explain what that is?
The price gets high enough that I'm not going to fill my tank. Or if I do, I'm going to fill it halfway, or I'm going to drive less, or, you know, wherever I can cut my demand for petroleum products, I will. Okay, and so the price gets high enough and I make choices and I don't use oil as much, and everybody else does too. And so we get to, let's say, 160, 170, 180, and then the price is going to drop down because demand is going to drop. And in my models, we're not going to get lower than 105.
Wow.
In the most likely case. In an adverse case, we're never going to get to 130 again. But in the best case scenario, which says that by the end of the year, things, I don't want to say they're normalized, but they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we're going to go up, we're going to go down, and then we're going to slowly go up, and it's going to stay, you know, the average price of WTI or Brent is going to be 115 or 120 forever.
Okay, so what happens if that's back to your magic scenario where everything got done and we started all the difficult stuff? But what if the dueling blockades stay in place, say, through the end of June, and we're still not to that start point? Then
we get to, you know, $200, and the same mechanics fall. You know, I mean, the higher it gets, the more extreme the demand destruction is going to be. But it's the same scenario. It's just that the price that it drops down to, instead of being 105, is 140 or something like that. I mean, this is a world-changing event, Danny. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. I mean, this is oil is what run that is the economy. And so, to use a rather crude example that I've used before, if you walk outside your building or your office today with a buddy, and that guy gets hit by a car, and he's and all of a sudden and he's bleeding, and he's losing 20% of his blood supply. Okay, that's the globe, that's the world economy right now. We just overnight lost 20% of our blood in the Persian Gulf. All right, so what happens? Well, you got to get that guy to a hospital, like, instantly. If you don't get him to a hospital, he's dead, right? All right, is there anything you can do in the meantime while that ambulance is coming? Sure. You know, maybe most of the blood's coming out of his leg. Put a tourniquet around that sucker. All right, so instead of losing 20% of his blood supply, he's losing 15%. All right, so in the best of all possible worlds, you know, the guy lives. You get him to the hospital before he dies, and probably he's going to lose that leg. He might lose more. His brain might not work anymore. He might have had a stroke. He might not be able to talk anymore. He may be alive. That's the world we're talking about. You don't do this. You don't bleed out in the parking lot and have everything go back to normal like Kevin Hassett said. That's not the way the real world works.
And let me ask you that question, because that's something that a lot of people don't understand. They're like, okay, 20% of the global oil supply, gas supply was in there. So, okay, fine. Let's go to the other 80% and just have everybody produce a little bit more, and then we can replace that. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, it doesn't work that way. I mean, why are we so dependent on the Persian Gulf? First of all, because they've got the reserves and the rest of the world doesn't. But more, now we're back to oil quality again. All right, so where are you going to get that extra oil from? You're going to get it from the United States? You're going to produce more light beer that you can't use. You know, you're going to get it from West Africa? They got light beer too. You're going to get Venezuela to produce more? Good luck with that. But, you know, there you're going to get sludge. You're going to get tar. You know, honestly, the only other place outside the Persian Gulf that has a high daily supply of the right kind of oil is Russia. So if you're wondering, you know, why we're you know, relaxing sanctions on Russian oil, that's the reason why, is because, I mean, Russia, the United States, and Saudi Arabia are the three biggest oil producers in the world. And a lot of Russian oil falls into that sweet spot that's real good for making diesel and kerosene and jet fuel. Okay. And by the way, I mean, you know, Putin is no fool. And, you know, while everybody's all consumed with this issue, he's making his move on Ukraine again. Right.
Yeah. We covered that earlier today in one of our shows about what could be coming very soon. Well, listen, as advertised, you are unintimidated and uncompromised to bring us the truth on this, but it's something we desperately need to know. There are so few people who understand the things that you just described here in ways that everybody can understand it, but I'm really, really grateful for you coming on so we at least know what we're actually facing. So thank you so much for that, Art. I appreciate it.
And I just want to, you know, before we leave, I just want people to understand, I mean, you know, this isn't some weird extreme view that only Art Berman has. I mean, there, if you go onto any of these platforms, you know, and look for people, you know, look at what Jeff Curry has to say, look at what Eric Nuttall has to say, look at what Anas Al-Haji, you know, look at what Rory Johnston. I mean, I could continue to name names, you know, people that are, you know, very high credibility, well-respected people in my business, they will all tell you some version of the same story that I just told. Some will be more extreme, some will be less extreme. Every one of them will tell you this is a world-changing event. We ain't coming back from this hole. Nobody's safe. Nobody gets a pass. The United States is not immune. They'll all tell you the same thing. And there's an awful lot of smart people who are not specifically energy, people that deal with, you know, with bonds and finances. And, you know, I mean, I can think of, you know, a few right now, you know, guys like Tavi Costa and, you know, Bianco Research and look at HFI Research. And I mean, they see the same thing, you know, Mohammed Al-Aryan, you know, over in the UK. They're even, you know, Christine Lagarde and Jamie Dimon, at the big banks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all telling us a version of what I'm telling you, probably not quite as explicitly as I am. But if you don't believe me, go look at them. Go see what they say and ask yourself, is what Berman's telling us, is he just blowing smoke? Because what you'll find is no. This is the mainstream view among people who know.
Yeah, and I can validate that myself because I have looked at about half of that list there.
Yeah,
that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on too. So, okay, all right. Well, I don't know what's going on with my audio, but thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it, and I hope all you guys are still hearing me. And we will see you tomorrow on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive. You know, thanks. We don't have sponsors because we hate to hit you over the head with ads. I don't like them. So show a little love back. Subscribe, like, and send this to somebody you care about.